We are thankful for each one of the men like Brian and others who help us direct our thoughts and our hearts in the leading and singing of the various songs that we sing each Lord's Day together. And these songs often help us set a tone and a mindset and help us focus ourselves spiritually. And I appreciate the job that these men do. And I probably don't say that enough, and perhaps we don't, any of us, say that enough. But if you would, give a word of thanks and encouragement to these men who lead us in our singing, because it helps us so much and it blesses us so much. And the selection today, I think, has been very encouraging and helpful for each and every one of us. Speaking of encouragement, you know, out in the foyer, we have a board on which many people put cards and notes for one another. And I noticed that there was a card with our name on it, Scotty and Celine. It says Celine and Scotty, so I don't know if that's importance or age or what, but at any rate, so I'll open it up, and it's from Jim and Dot, probably just Dot, really, and it's a happy anniversary card, because Jim and Dot and Celine and I, we share the same anniversary. They've been married a couple of years more than we have, but we share the same anniversary. Then I realized, you know, they were going to be out of town on that day, so 9 days in advance, you know, August 13th is when our anniversary is. Dot gives us a anniversary card, so I sat down and I pulled it out, and I said, "Here, this is for us." And Celine looked at it and said, "Is that today?" So Miss Joyce Pettis back there, you're not the only one that forgets sometimes. You know, I had to stop and think, "What is that?" You know. Anyway, but encouraging, a great blessing for each and every one of us to share these great things together and to encourage one another as we think about these things. This morning, we're going to spend a little bit of time, hopefully, in encouraging ourselves as we think about Jesus and His relationship with the Word of God. We know that Jesus in John 1, verses 1 through 3, is the Word of God, but we also have our copy of the Bible that is also known as the Word of God. And so we want to spend a little time thinking about Jesus and the Scriptures. And really, there are two things that I want us, hopefully, to accomplish this morning by this particular lesson. Number one, I want us to realize that Jesus knew the Scripture. Number one, Jesus knew the Scripture. And number two, if I'm going to be like Jesus, I need to know the Scripture also. A very simple outline, very simple line of thought that I want us to follow here. But Jesus obviously knew the Scripture, and secondly, we need to know the Scripture as well, particularly if our end goal as children of God is to be like Jesus. We want to know the things that Jesus knew. We want to think the things that Jesus thought. We want to read the things that Jesus read. We want to hear the things that Jesus heard. We want to believe the things that Jesus believed. We want to obey and understand the things that Jesus believed and obeyed and understood Himself. And with that in mind, let's look at the first thought, first part of the lesson. Jesus knew the Scripture. That is very evident when you begin studying the teaching of Jesus. Very evident when you begin to look at the ministry of Christ and the many times that He quotes from the Scriptures. There are occasions, such as Luke chapter 4, where it tells us that Jesus, as His custom was, entered the synagogue and asked for the book of Isaiah, found the place and read from the book of Isaiah, what we know as Isaiah chapter 61. But it shows that Jesus knew how to read the Scriptures. It shows that Jesus knew how to take a scroll, to use that, to find the place. Notice from Luke 4, to find the place, very specific detail there. And something else it says that's interesting, that going to that synagogue, reading the Scripture, understanding those kind of things, it says, as some translations say, as He was accustomed to do, as His custom was. In other words, this is something that Jesus did on a very regular basis. He was consistently, regularly, as His custom was, acquainted with the Word of God. So Jesus knew the Scriptures. But Luke 4 is an incident where we read about Jesus reading from the Scriptures. We also understand that there are many other times when Jesus quoted from the Scriptures and that Jesus referred to the Scriptures on many different occasions. In fact, if you were to open your Bible to Matthew chapter 5 for just a minute, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are the Sermon on the Mount, as we typically identify that by Jesus. And yet, it is replete with passages and references, particularly in chapter 5, where we see very strongly that Jesus knew the Scriptures. In fact, to start the sermon off, of course, there's what we know as the Beatitudes there. But in verse 17, Matthew 5, 17, notice Jesus' attitude toward the Scriptures and Jesus' mindset. And some important things are said by the statements Jesus makes here. Matthew 5, verse 17. Do not think that I have come to destroy the law and the prophets. You see, that was Jesus' Scripture. Jesus' Bible was not Matthew through Revelation. That had not been written during Jesus' lifetime. Jesus' Bible was Genesis through Malachi. That was Jesus' Bible. The law and the prophets, as the Jews often referred to it. So think not that I came to destroy the law and the prophets. Do not think that I came to destroy the Scriptures, but what? I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one mite by no means shall pass away from the law till all is fulfilled. So Jesus' attitude toward the Bible, his Bible, as you and I would call the Old Testament, was to respect it, and not only that, but to fulfill it. In every minute detail, one jot, one tittle, he says, will not pass away, will not go unfulfilled, but all would be fulfilled ultimately in him. Now, as you begin to dig your way through the Sermon on the Mount, particularly chapter 5, you will see a phrase occur several different times where Jesus says, you have heard that it was said by those of old. Something basically like that. And just about every time you read that, especially in chapter 5, Jesus is making a reference to the old law. He's making a reference to Scripture. He has it memorized. And he is making reference to that because he has studied it sufficiently to know exactly what Scripture says. In fact, there's an even more, I guess, telling illustration of this fact a chapter earlier in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4, which is paralleled also with Luke 4, but as it's convenient to just turn your page back to Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is tempted by Satan. Jesus has started his ministry now. He has been immersed by John the Immerser. He now begins the public phase of his ministry, which will last 3 to 3.5 or so years. But at the very beginning of his ministry, it says that he fasts in the wilderness for a period of about 40 days. You look back, you know, Jesus talked about the law and the prophets there in Matthew chapter 5. There are two other men in the Bible who it's recorded fasted for 40 days, Moses and Elijah, who are often regarded as the great law giver and the great Old Testament prophet, law and prophet. Jesus fasted for 40 days like they did as well. But on this particular occasion, after Jesus had fasted for this long period of time, the Bible tells us in Matthew 4 that Satan came and he tempted him. You see, that's just like the devil. He will tempt us when we are the most vulnerable. He will get us at our weakest point. That's exactly what he's doing with Jesus here, because the first temptation he starts off with is something about eating, something about food, something Jesus had deprived himself of for a long period of time now. And there are other temptations that you read in Matthew 4, again, paralleled over in Luke chapter 4. But the point we're making here, this first section of the sermon, of the lesson today, is that Jesus knew Scripture. And I want you to notice as you read, and I'm not telling you something that you don't already know, but we're just reminding ourselves of Jesus' knowledge of the Bible, that each time Jesus was confronted with a temptation, and we have three that are listed here in Matthew 4, that each time Jesus is confronted with a temptation, he responds how? It is written. And then he quotes Scripture. You see, he didn't have a bunch of scrolls out there in the wilderness with him. And he couldn't pull out his iPad and look it up electronically. Battery would have been dead by then anyway. Jesus had the Scripture here. Because Jesus knew Scripture. And each time he says, it is written. That means he had read it. And he had read it enough to memorize it. And there's something that goes even a little deeper here as you look at how Jesus knew Scripture in this account in Matthew 4. Each time Jesus uses those words, it is written, he quotes from the Old Testament. We narrow it down a little more. He quotes from the law of Moses. We narrow it down a little more. He quotes from the book of Deuteronomy all three times. I struggle sometimes spelling the name Deuteronomy. I'm not sure I can quote very much of the book. And I'm particularly uncertain that if I was under duress and I had been fasting for 40 days and I was physically, mentally, emotionally exhausted and now being spiritually challenged in a degree that exceeded anything perhaps I've ever faced before, that the first thing on my mind would be Deuteronomy. But with Jesus, it was. Jesus knew Scripture. And Jesus used the Scripture to face temptation and to answer temptation so that what? He would not sin. Not a sin to be tempted. Sin to give in to it. And in order to not give in to the temptation, Jesus pulled up the reinforcement out of his arsenal, Scripture. It is written. Because Jesus knew Scripture. And he says, you know, this is what I have come to fulfill. Now, I want us to develop something else for just a moment here, thinking about Jesus and his knowledge of Scripture. In the modern world, and this has been the case for a long time really, not just, you know, the last 10 years, there are three parts of the Bible that are particularly often ridiculed. And the three parts of the Bible that often are particularly ridiculed to point out that the book is imaginary fairy tales. Number one, creation. Number two, the flood. Number three, Jonah and the big fish. I do not think that it is a coincidence that Jesus, who knew Scripture, referred specifically to all three of those biblical events. The three events that find themselves highlighted as the poster children, so to speak, of the critics of the Bible, of how it's just a bunch of nonsense. Jesus specifically referred to all three. Think about the creation. When Jesus, in Mark chapter 10, is confronted by some of his enemies concerning the question about marriage, Jesus makes an interesting statement in Mark chapter 10,
verse 6.
But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. What did Jesus just say in Mark 10, verse 6? Before he began to answer the problem that they were confronting him with. The preface to this, the foundational basis for the whole thing that Jesus was about to say was what? Creation. From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. So, if you got a problem with creation, then you got a problem with what Jesus just said here. Because apparently, he had no problem with it at all. The flood is criticized and ridiculed or downgraded by many people who do not believe in the Scriptures today. But Jesus makes reference to it in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is making reference at this point to some things that will be the final events upon earth at Judgment Day. And in Matthew chapter 24, at verse 38, really back, verse 37, Jesus says this, "But as in the days of Noah were, but as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man." Apparently, Jesus believed in Noah. Apparently, Jesus believed in a flood. Apparently, Jesus believed in an ark. And apparently, Jesus believed that it was a worldwide flood because it took them all away. Jonah and the big fish is perhaps the most ridiculed story of all through the pages of the Bible. Yet, when we turn a few pages back in the book of Matthew, to Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, we read Jesus saying this. Matthew 12, verse 40. He had just been asked by some of his critics to reveal a sign to prove that he was who he said he was. In verse 39, he says, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." So he believed in Jonah. "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the whole earth." Jesus believed in Jonah. And Jesus believed that Jonah was in the belly of that fish 3 days and three nights. You see, Jesus knew Scripture. And while there are critics today who can refer to those biblical stories and those biblical accounts for the purpose of ridicule, for the purpose of making fun of Christianity, and for the purpose of downgrading faith to a level of you know, child's play, or a child's game, Jesus quoted these incidents, and Jesus referred to these incidents because he had studied them, he believed them, and he said, "This is the Word of God." Jesus knew Scripture. You know, we have to give a lot of credit about this to Mary and Joseph, don't we? When you go back to the book of Deuteronomy again, you read another passage that would have spoken very strongly to Jesus' earthly parents, Mary and Joseph. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength." And these words, Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, "these words
words. That's Scripture. These words which I command you. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. See, Mary and Joseph evidently took this responsibility very seriously, because this knowledge of Scripture that Jesus had, that we've spent a few minutes talking about this morning, began many years before he began his ministry. Began when he was just a child. In fact, one of the few incidents that we have recorded in the Bible from Jesus' childhood, we find in Luke chapter 2. And in Luke chapter 2, Jesus is 12 years old. And when Jesus was 12 years old, he is found in the temple with men who are much, much, much older than him and had studied the Scriptures much, much longer than him and for many, many more years than he had been around on the earth. And he was discussing the Scriptures with these men. And he was asking them questions, and they were asking him questions, and he was answering. Here's a case where a 12-year-old boy is able to converse with scholars of Scripture and both ask and answer questions. Apparently, Mary and Joseph had done their job and had done it very well. So, we kind of are making the transition here to the second part of the lesson. That the first part is Jesus knew Scripture. But secondly, if I'm going to be like Jesus, I too must know Scripture. It is incumbent upon me to have the responsibility to learn Scripture, but backing up from that and getting the example we have here in Deuteronomy 6 and Jesus as a young boy, that also that I teach Scripture to my family. And that I work with my family in such a way that we are spiritually guiding ourselves by the Word of God. Now, your family, grown children, little children, you know, cousins, whoever it may be, your family sometimes will be inclined to ask you a question about the Bible that you might sit there and say, I don't know. I'm not sure what the answer to that is. Because none of us knows everything. And when you have that happen, and you probably have already had it happen, and will probably have it happen again, don't just ignore that. Because particularly with the younger children, as we think about Jesus being a young man here, but with the younger people that we're trying to influence for goodness and holiness and all that is right and righteous, if we ignore that, we communicate something that maybe we don't mean to communicate it, but we do. We communicate that Scripture isn't really all that important, and finding out the answers to spiritual questions really isn't that significant. It isn't that big a deal. If we are asked a question by someone in our family, children, spouse, parents, cousins, nephews, nieces, whoever it may be, or a friend, a neighbor, we're asked a question and we don't know. You know, the best thing to do is to say, well, you know, that's something that I'm not sure what the answer is, but I'm convinced that we can find it if we study together. And so then you begin to do the work. Remember what's the second part of the lesson? The first part of the lesson is Jesus in the Scripture. The second part of the lesson is if we're going to be like Jesus, what? We need to know Scripture too. And that means we got to do the work, the grunt work. We got to sit down and read the book. It was his custom, Luke 4. And he knew it so well that in a state of great distress, he could say, it was written. He relied on it. And if you and I are going to be like Jesus was, then that's what you and I need to do. And that's what you and I need to instill in the hearts and the minds of the younger people over whom we have influence. I am pretty convinced that Mary and Joseph did their job very well. You and I need to do our jobs with our children, with our families, with our friends and neighbors very well. We need to be like Jesus. We need to know the Word of God. We need to know the Scriptures. And in those times when we don't know, we sit down, we work at it, till we find out. And then we go back and we say, here it is. It is written. I learn. My child learns. My friend learns. We all learn. Therefore, we all grow. We all mature. And we all become more like Jesus. And that's the ultimate goal of what we want to do. So Jesus knew the Scriptures. You and I need to be like Jesus, and you and I need to know the Scriptures. This morning we extend the invitation of Jesus Christ taught to us in the Scriptures. Do you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, he who believes, Mark 16, he who believes and is baptized, immersed, shall be saved. That's Scripture. Those are the very words of Jesus. If you know those things but have not yet obeyed those things, will you? If you know those, if you do not know those things and want to know more about them, do you want to study? Do you want to develop the faith in the heart of mind of understanding to fully believe and then obey those things? Are you in need of restoration? Are you in need of prayer for issues you're facing, temptations, maybe like Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4? Rely upon God. Rely upon the Word. Rely upon the one who knew Scripture, and let's all be like him and know it as well. This morning, if you are in need of responding to the invitation of Jesus, will you come as we stand and we sing?